Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family witnesses the outline of their loved one in the fog of the atmosphere. Why did he return and what did he want? Plus, just today, right before going on the air, he's going through new phone calls and we have an update from Glenn the security guard. See what's going on in his world in just moments. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Help keep our program on the air by becoming an EPP, that is an extra podcast person. You sign up to become one of those at ghostpodcast.com or through the Patreon app, patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, more than 300 bonus episodes jam-packed with our best ghost stories. You get our ebook, you get our audiobook. Right there, that's a $30 value if you're to buy them off of Amazon or Audible, which they are available there, by the way. But you get those when you become an EPP, an extra podcast person, either through Patreon or ghostpodcast.com. And that's what really keeps this show on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. We, right before coming on the air, just got something set up in our yard I'm excited about it. It's an O that is hanging from a tree, and when you spin it in a certain direction, it conjures spirits.
It does not conjure spirits, but it conjures memories.
Yes, it's a tire swing. We hung a tire swing from a tree.
We both had tire swings as kids. Mm-hmm. Just the old-fashioned, you know, hang it vertically kind, yeah. Not the fancy, you know, horizontal with three.
I never understood those. I thought those were not fun. Anytime I ever tried using them, I was like, this is bullshit. I want the other one.
I know. Just the old time country rope.
Yeah.
Swing. Yeah. No, we got one of those for Harper and she's been on it. And then we're like, okay, now we got to go record. So you can't be outside unattended.
No more playing.
So she's like, okay.
Well, here's the reality. I mean, yeah, she was like that, but she's also like, okay, I'm going to go cuddle kitties now and a bunny. So,
yeah, she's going to cuddle Snowball.
Yeah, so for the next 2 hours, she's rotating animals of cuddling them. So I can't say that it's, I feel too bad, but no. She'll love that thing later, especially when it's cooled down too, because it's the middle of the day when we're recording this. It's noon, it's hot, and it's summer, so.
Oh, the best is when you're swinging and there's lightning bugs. And
I thought you were going to say lightning.
No, lightning bugs. That's as summer as it gets.
And you're attached to a tree as it's lightning and you're
I just want to put her in overalls with a slingshot in her pocket.
And so she can shoot things while on the tire swing. Have you done that?
No, then I'm recreating my childhood. In her.
Were you shooting things off of the tire swing?
No, but I had it in case I needed it.
That would be interesting.
I'm going to shoot that squirrel, though.
No. Fly-by squirrel shooting.
That squirrel that...
Yeah. That taunts you?
That's a bad squirrel.
It just... It has an attitude. I'm kind of like on the fence. He hasn't gotten into my garden yet. But he seems like he's kind of funny. The way that he'll like play hide and seek with you behind... pillars and things.
As we were walking to the mailbox, he was jumping from tree to tree following us.
Taunting us, yeah.
It's like,
and dropping nuts as we went.
I'm like, nope, not going to deal with you.
Just waiting for him to jump down or something? Or
I'm afraid he's going to jump on me and bite me.
Is that your fear?
Yeah, because who knows if he's...
What if he's one of those winged squirrels?
What if he's got rabies?
Well, if he had rabies, he wouldn't be as active as he is.
And you're an expert on rabid squirrels?
I'm pretty good at rabid squirrel information.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I've seen my fair share of rabid animals. Pretty sure that's not a rabid animal.
He's just an asshole.
He's just an asshole animal. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I wouldn't worry about the rabies, but he may jump on you.
Don't want him to jump on me.
It's not going to give you anything.
I will buy a livestock guard dog if that thing jumps on
me. Would you bite him back?
No. No.
That's how you teach squirrels to get away from you, is you do what they do. You bite them back. So if a squirrel happens to jump on your shoulder, you turn around and you take a bite out of the squirrel. That's
yeah, I'm sure that's how that goes.
Not really, no. But you'd have one hell of a confused squirrel, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, maybe that person's rabid. That's what they'd be thinking.
God.
Like, I've never seen this before. And Murray just got bit by that lady. She's like, took a chunk out of his tail. That would be...
I'm not going to bite a squirrel.
The issues in the squirrel community in our yard. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us or incidents of biting squirrels. Let's go to our first ghost story of the day. It says, it begins in the fall of 2015. My family was staying with my grandparents while we were between houses. I was out of school about 2 hours away, but when I came home for Thanksgiving, I could feel a change in the air of that house. The energy of their house was different. It did not feel ominous, just off. One night while I was lying down in the den and I felt someone looking at me, I often get this feeling and will sometimes do a complete 180 and be making eye contact with someone. I looked over to the doorway and saw nothing. My mind raced. I felt uneasy. I felt like I should be seeing someone, but there was no one there. I only saw the cabinets in the kitchen. I continued to watch TV and the feeling soon subsided. The next day, I was talking to my mom. I asked her if she or my dad had come out of the guest bedroom to say goodnight, thinking that I just missed a quick passing by. She said no. I told her it was odd and that I could have sworn someone was there. She guaranteed me that was not the case. Well, Ma and Papa are out of town, so is the house haunted? I said this jokingly. She did not seem too amused. She then filled me in on strange things that had been happening around the house. My father had seen mist or shadows. My mom and both my aunts had seen a figure of a man out of the corner of their eyes. Lights would not work for days, then suddenly turn on when certain people got near them. And sometimes people heard voices that they could not quite make out who they were or where they came from. My grandparents are skeptical of ghosts and would have shrugged events like this off, so no telling if we're going on sooner. None of these experiences have been malevolent, so it leads me to believe it is my grandparents' parents. My grandmother lost her mother shortly before these events. I think that the spirits may have been visiting or had some strong attachment to some of the heirlooms brought here. This is my best guess to describe what happened, as the house was new when my grandparents purchased it. I've done some research on the supernatural and know that there are factors that can lead to a foreign presence haunting an area or an object, but I do not think that's what happened. The activity has slowed down over the years, but as recently as last Christmas, a man's face was caught on a selfie my aunt took of us together. I do not know if I will ever find out what or who these spirits are. I'd like to hear your take on these events and see what you think they may be. Thanks for sharing my story. I hope to share more very soon.
I would imagine it's who you suspect it is. I would think that it's, you know... there's not a lot of history there other than the same family in that house. It's probably people that, you know, have lived there at some point, which would be the great grandparents or grandparents. You know, the grandparents are still around. So I would think that it's probably just family.
You hope it's just family.
You hope it's just family, but...
Until... Now, I mean, with this case, it sounds, you know, they've kind of narrowed a lot of things down, saying, you know, it's a new building. They just died. We took in a lot of their stuff. Yeah, I mean, if you were to guess without knowing much more about it, that would be the direction, I would say, mm-hmm. that we're probably going. But anything is possible. Sometimes they just tend to show up and nobody really knows why. Things just kind of show up here and there. But I'd say odds are in your favor that that's what it is.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We saw a large dark object in the middle of our field late at night the other night. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. Could have been a shadow person.
It would have been a shadow group.
Yeah, like a shadow coven. All gathering together. That in just a moment. First, our next story. It says, I recently started listening and thought I would share a few strange experiences to start with. I've always believed that there are things out there that we will never be able to explain, things that are bigger than we can ever understand. For that reason, I've always kept an open mind about everything. There are a couple of experiences I'd like to share that have happened to me. I'll start with probably the most common, and that is sleep paralysis. Well, maybe not exactly sleep paralysis, as I can move during the occurrences, but it is still intriguing nonetheless. I'm drifting off to sleep. You know, when you're not quite asleep yet, but not quite awake, I'll hear loud crashes, almost swearing that someone has broken into the house. Once I was drifting off, I saw an image of pots and pans falling to the floor. I heard a loud crash as they hit the floor. It sounded just like you'd expect pots and pans to sound if you drop them. I've only seen the image once, but lots of times I'll hear the loud noise. It'll be very loud, a crash, almost whispering voices. I'll immediately wake up, sometimes jolt up, and my heart will be pounding. As I said, I don't really think it's sleep paralysis as I can move, but it's always when I'm about to fall asleep. I also have this strange relationship with time. This probably happens to me about once a week. I'll wake up and look over at the alarm clock. It'll be exactly 3 a.m., not 3:01, not 2:59, but 3 on the nose. I sort of tested this out a few times. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and purposely not roll over to look at my alarm clock or my phone to check the time. I'll wait several minutes, and when I finally do look, it's 3. That really creeps me out because I always think of 3 being the witching hour. One last thing I will share. My husband and I have lived in a townhouse for 2 years. It was built about 40 years ago. Since it's not that old, I do not think it's haunted. Never actually seen a ghost in my life, but something very unusual happened to me one morning. My husband leaves at 6:50 to go to work. I normally stay in bed until 7:30 before I get ready for work. One morning, he kissed me as he left for work. Still lying in bed with the covers over my face. The bedroom door is closed, which we do not normally close. The reason it was closed was to keep our new kitten in the room with us. We're trying to get the kitten slowly used to each room. Anyway, probably 3 or 4 minutes after, I hear my husband close the front door to leave, and I hear a knock on the bedroom door. It was 4 distinct knocks, one after the other. I called out his name, thinking maybe he came back and forgot something. He didn't say anything. I uncovered my face and looked over at the bedroom door. I heard the knocks again. I think it was 4 knocks again and again, one after the other, but I also saw the door move a little as if someone is on the other end. It did not startle me because I was sure it was my husband coming back to get something and the bedroom door was probably locked. I called my husband's name again and got out of bed. I opened the door and no one was there. I called my husband and asked if he came back home and he said no. I was trying to rationalize it. Maybe it was the wind, but no windows were open and it was not windy. And it sounded exactly like knocking. And the door moved. It was not my imagination either. My cat was lying on the bed and perked up looking at the door, and this really spooked me. Luckily, it has not happened again, and I've always made sure the bedroom door is open from now on. Anyway, if this makes it on, I hope it's interesting enough. I'd love to know if something similar has happened to anyone else.
I'm kind of stuck on the 3 a.m. thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that sometimes I will wake up at the exact same time every day and then I'll just roll over and go back to sleep. But I still woke up at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it's just because your body gets used to that, that yeah. It then becomes a thing. And unfortunately, 3 a.m. is not a comforting time to wake up because there's still plenty of time to sleep. But also it is the witching hour and you kind of you know, if you listen to our show, it freaks you out. So I'm thinking at this point, it may just be your body is in the habit of waking up at that time.
Once you make it a trend, it's hard to get your body to break that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And if your trend is simply getting up, like, and it can start out super innocently, just like, and my hours tend to change, and it has a lot to do with daylight savings, but it'll be either like 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
That I am waking up and I go use the bathroom. And it's pretty close to the same time every night. But the only reason it's doing that is because it knows that I will get up and go use the bathroom. So it's there's something, you know, it's your human clock. If you suddenly had to start doing work and go to work at 6 a.m., your body, and you start doing that pattern, will start to adjust and it will start waking up. You may not want to get out of bed, but your body will tell you it's time to get up. And it's hard to break those patterns because it thinks that it's doing the right thing for you subconsciously. And it will do it for a long period of time. Essentially, you have to break whatever, you know, what the carrot is. The carrot is going to the bathroom. So with me, it's like I have to stop drinking liquids before I go to bed if I want to break it. And then when I'm woken up, I'm not thinking, oh, I can go to the bathroom, so I should go. Yeah. If I don't have to go, but I'm just woken up, I can stay there.
Mm-hmm.
If your job no longer exists that you have to get up at 6 a.m. for, you don't have to get up at 6 a.m. anymore. But your body's going to keep telling you to do it for a long period of time. I had that when I was doing morning radio.
Yeah.
It took me, and I only did it for like a year, but I swear it took like 3 or 4 years to break that. It was like, 'cause I would get up at, I want to say like 4:30 or so, because I started on the air at like 5:30. So I was just enough time to like get awake and get to the building in time. But it took forever to break that, and it sucks. but and it's not paranormal, but your body will do that. But the other things that are going on there, the noise that they're hearing when they're about to go to sleep, that's called exploding head syndrome. And I know it sounds crazy and like some sort of shit I just made up, that Jenny would be looking at me strangely going, quit lying to me.
No, he has said this for years, so I think it's a thing.
It is. And you can look it up. I don't know if exploding head syndrome is like technically the technical term, because it sounds kind of like rough, but maybe it is, whatever. That's what it's, some call it. But it is exactly what you are describing. I get it. I've had it happen.
Yeah.
I've had that happen probably way more frequently than anything else. I've only had sleep paralysis, or what I think might have been sleep paralysis, one time. But I've had the exploding head thing probably once a month, where it's, you're in that close to being asleep state, and then you think you hear something loud happen. Pots and pans, I think your mind really just kind of goes to what is a common thing that will resonate with you as being a loud noise.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of us, it's pots and pans. For some people, it's the slamming of the door. For some people, whatever that is in your mind, when you hear a loud slam, your mind's going to tell you that's what it is. And your mind's going to generate that sound. For me, I had a house where a door slammed very easily, and it made a loud noise. So I would always think it was that door.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me a lot when I was living alone in the red house, my first house.
Yeah.
I was waking up in the middle of the night, and I would think I was hearing a slam, to the point where I would get out of bed and walk around and make sure that the door was not open, because it was so noisy. Here's a great one, where it's a mixture of the exploding head syndrome and me just being an idiot. So I think I hear a door slam.
Mm-hmm.
I had that bedroom blackout curtain on the one window. It was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, you can't see shit when you got up. There was nothing. I get up and I'm hearing voices. I'm hearing people kind of talking in a quiet tone. And I'm like, what the hell? And I had just installed some new speakers in that room too, that were kind of like surround speakers. Mm-hmm. So they were like in different portions of the...
In the bedroom?
In the bedroom.
Okay.
And they were in different portions of the dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And... if you have surround sound and it's working correctly, it'll only go out of certain speakers, because it's supposed to simulate, you know, reality. And I would always fall asleep to Frasier. So I woke up one night with the exploding head thing, thinking I heard a door slam. I get up and I'm walking in my bedroom and I'm just trying to feel for the light and trying to figure out where this noise is coming from. Because it's like a whispering. It happened to be an episode of Frasier where they were like trying to talk real quietly off like in the corner, like as if they were being suspicious.
So it sounded like it was in the corner.
And I'm like, what am I hearing? And I'm just kind of coming out of the fog and I'm like, God, that sounds like Kelsey Grammer. Did Kelsey Grammer break into my house? And I'm like, oh shit, it's the episode of Frasier. Because what would happen is my TV, the screen would turn off, but the DVD player that it was playing off of would still play audio through the sound. So you could have audio with no, and eventually it would just turn off, but it's not done so yet. So that was what made it even more weird, because Frasier wasn't even on the screen. It was just this noise coming out in the darkness, and I had that sound. So
that's what you get for putting surround sound in your bedroom. I mean, who does that?
Me. We have a subwoofer in our bedroom now.
Begrudgingly, yes, we do.
It's not bad.
I don't like subwoofers. You know I don't like subwoofers.
You're an anti-subwoofer person.
It's a thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a texture thing, but it's not texture. It's a sound audio thing. And you know I hate subwoofers. So not only is there one in our living room that I deal with, you put one in our bedroom.
Well, the one in our living room's not even hooked up yet.
Thank you.
And did you even know, is the one in our bedroom hooked up?
I don't know.
See, you don't even know.
It makes me mad. I want to hiss at it when I see it. It's like I'm a cat and it's a predator and I'm going to hiss at it.
It's just a small one. It goes with the sound bar.
It's just a small little subwoofer.
Hashtag shit Jenny says. So, yeah. Well, the living room's not even hooked up yet. I think there's one behind you over there, too, that's not hooked up in the office. But
I hate subwoofers.
When did this begin? When was your...
When the fact that I have to always tell you to turn it down because it's so loud.
Okay. We'll adjust it.
It's a sensory thing.
Yeah. Well, some can be pretty overwhelming if you go crazy with it.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about this in a moment. So I'm getting kind of off topic. But,
okay.
I remember being at the fairs. I hated going through. One of the things I hated at the county fair in summertime, this is where it comes to mind, back when we had fairs and we could publicly gather. Remember, like, there'd be bands that would have like tents at fairs and stuff, or just any place there's a band. I hated being near a live band because that would reverberate through me as a kid.
Yeah.
It's not so bad as an adult, but when I was a kid, oh my God, I hated that sensation. I could not stand live music. I think the first concert I went to, I was like 15. Because I hated concerts because the vibrations of what would have been a subwoofer type thing, it was just too much, overwhelming. So I get what you're saying.
Okay.
But yeah, I just remember like when we're walking out of the county fair one day going, oh my God, I hate this. It was just, yeah. Then later in life, you find out why. Oh, you're Aspie. Oh, okay. I get it now. So yeah, I'm sensitive to shit. Let's go to our next call. It is actually, this is, I'm going to preface it. It's Glenn. I've not heard from Glenn. We have not heard from Glenn in months. Last I'd heard from what I remember, he left the job, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're about to find out, but it's a lengthy call. Here's an update from Glenn, the security officer. Hi.
Hi, Tony. It's Glenn from Cincinnati, Ohio. So, 3 days ago, I woke up from a dream. I was crying uncontrollably, and it was over my brother. I woke up from a dream where my brother was lying in a coffin. I could make out his facial hair, his hair, glasses, even what he wore, that I knew that it was my brother. It hurt me so bad to see my brother laying in a coffin that I woke up and I was uncontrollably crying because, you know, I never ever want to see something like that happen to my family. But I ended up getting up. You know, my family, they believe if you have a dream like that, for it not to come true, you know, you eat something before you tell somebody that So I, you know, went downstairs, grabbed something to eat real quick. I think it was either a piece of bacon or a cracker of some sort. I came back up here, ate it, you know, waited a couple minutes, and I finally did my hardest to get a hold of my brother. Finally got a hold of him. And as soon as I heard his voice, I started trying to fight back tears because I didn't know it was a happy feeling, but, you know, I just was so happy that, you know, nothing was wrong with him. I asked him, I said, how are you doing? You know, we had a little quick conversation, and I was still trying to fight back tears, so I was only giving small, short answers, yes or no's. And he said, I'm doing fine, you know, everything okay? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. I love you. I said, love you too. Bye. And I started crying again because, you know, at that point in time, I was just happy to hear that he was okay. After the phone call, I broke down for another 10, 15 minutes and finally got enough courage to call my mom and tell her about, you know, the dream I had. And while I was sitting there, I was talking to my mom about what my dream, you know, had occurred. And I told her, I said, you know, I had a dream that Doug passed away. I'm scared to see something happen to him. And she said, Glenn, he's not doing too good right now. You know, no one's taking care of him. He's not able to take care of himself. He needs help. I said, well, give me a little bit to, you know, take things into granted, and, you know, I'll call you back. By end of my work shift and my job now, I end up going ahead and saying, you know what, I'm going to make a decision. We'll go ahead and remove my brother from where he's at. I'm going to bring him to my house for at least a couple of days and then, you know, try to get him, you know, the stuff that he needed. Because he didn't have no social security card, no birth certificate, nothing, you know, no ID. I said, you know, give me a couple of days when I get paid. You know, I'll start helping him get everything figured out, you know, get it taken care of. Well, I brought him back to my house. On the way home, we talked for a bit, you know, just trying to catch up on, you know, old times and, you know, stuff like that. And I was talking to him and I said, you know, have you eaten today? He goes, Bob, to be honest with you, I haven't eaten in a couple of days. He goes, if I have, it'd be something small here and there. And I said, at that point in time, I knew maybe that somebody was telling me, hey, you need to take care of this now or something bad's about to happen. So when I got in the car, he looked like he was homeless. He needed a bath, needed a shave. He was really dirty, you know, and he's real bad, I guess. But I said, when we get home, I'm going to get you some clothes and you're going to take a shower and I'm going to get you, we're going to feed you. He said, okay. And on my way home, I called my girlfriend and I said, hey, can you do me the biggest favor? Can you give him some clothes ready and stuff like that? I said, you know, he hasn't eaten in a while. He's hungry, too. So we got back here. He took a shower and, you know, fed him, gave him a pack of cigarettes. And when the next morning came, we took him around my mom's. And, you know, he was talking to my mom. And I took my mom to the side real quick. And I said, Mom, I need to talk to you about something. And we went in the kitchen. We were talking over a cigarette. And I said, I kind of think this was when I agree with you 100%. I think it was an omen because the way he's been living, you know, nobody would take care of him. Nobody's helping him. It would have been a matter of time before something bad happened to him. So I appreciate, you know, whatever, you know, said, look, you need to look at this. Something's wrong here. Take care of it. Help him. Because, you know, I haven't contacted my brother in a couple months. You know, if it had been him sending me something stupid through, like, instant messenger or something like that, and that'd be into the conversation. But I haven't really talked to my brother, you know, in a couple months. And I think whoever did that, you know, I'm very grateful for whoever, you know, what they did, because I'm pretty sure if my brother would have stayed in the position that he was in, he would have probably lost his life. But, I can't pinpoint them together, but I kind of put this towards, you know, from my last job for the security guard, because now I will see visions of people in my dreams that I've never ever met or seen in my life. And they're just, they're not normal people. They're either light, really light in color, or they're blue. And they'll just look at me in my dreams and they won't say anything to me. They'll just stand there and watch. And I kind of think maybe that that person is actually standing by my bed when they're looking at me, because you know, they don't say anything. They won't break eye contact. They just stand there and look. And some of them are old people. Some of them are young people. Anymore nowadays, if we're downstairs, we can hear people walking up through on our third floor bedroom into the girls' room, and they'll just walk throughout the house on the third floor. I hope nothing of them are bad. You know, I'm praying to God on this one that you know, nothing is bad has happened yet. You know, so far it's just been me seeing them in my dreams. And my two daughters are back in their room now, and they have no issues with anything during the night. You know, my daughter occasionally wake up for a bottle, but that's it. You know, I end up going to the center, putting lights up there just to be on the safe side so they could, you know, have a nightlight. But I think most of this is probably stemming from my old security job. Maybe something, at this point, I have to face the fact that something probably did come home with me, or these people are just still asking for help. Because, you know, I had the dream about where the floor opened up and people were trying to, you know, scream. They were trying to get to me, to the desk, and they were screaming for help. At this point in time, like, I have to point out to be, it has to be linked to my old job. You know, it just, I don't know what to do. So, it's kind of freaky, though, but so far it's, you know, it's led to, you know, reconnections between me and my brother, you know, and I do appreciate whoever, you know, showed me that my brother was in trouble. You know, so it might have been somebody in my family that passed away that really cared about, you know, us and, you know, pointed me toward that way. But I hope you guys have a good day. If anything else pops off the next couple of days or not, I'm more than happy to call back into you guys and tell you about it.
I kind of think maybe Glenn has been sensitive all this time, but that last job really made him exercise that sensitivity skill to the point where now he's it's almost like bodybuilding.
Permasense.
He's bulked up as far as his sensitivity. And it's going to take a while for things to go back and calm down and go back to his pre-last job self. But it sounds like the things that are still with him aren't the bad things. They're the things that want to help.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his sensitivity level is still super high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to take a while for being away from that job and not having, you know, not going anywhere that, you know, you might have an experience, you know, trying to kind of avoid that as much as possible for things to kind of calm down.
I think if anything really super positive that came out of the job of being the security guard, because there was a lot of negative that came out of it and experiences, maybe it was this. Maybe it was getting some sort of an attachment that gave him this warning about his brother, that gave him this, you know, this push to, hey, let's pay a little more attention over here right now. This person really needs you. Because you're not aware of it, but I am, and I'm going to help you become more aware of it. Maybe that was it. Maybe, you know, enduring the shit show that was that job and all of the paranormal stuff, maybe that was the purpose. Maybe that was the end thing where you look back and you go, everything happened for a reason. Maybe I had that job to get that attachment to end up preventing my brother from dying.
Mm-hmm.
essentially, or that road continuing to go down where it gets there. But the only way that the universe knew how to do this and to get me to that point in that path was this way. I think sometimes that that is how it works.
Yeah.
And it's weird paths that you have to take to get there. And you don't know why or how, or it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But maybe that's part of what that was. Thank you, Glenn, for the update and sharing that story with us. It's always good to hear from you, and it's great to get an update from you. It's been a while since we've heard from you, so thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. What's that?
We didn't talk about our shadow in the backyard.
Oh, okay. Show's not over.
Show's not over.
Show's not over until the cows come home, which is literally kind of what we're talking about. Okay, so yeah, so back to spooky music. So yeah, shadow person in the backyard.
It was not a shadow person.
It's a big shadow person.
It's a sweet cow that just likes our pasture better. And bless her heart, she jumps the fence and she busts the barbed wire every time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's all scraped up underneath. But
I feel bad for that cow.
I know. She comes on over. But this is the third time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother us at all. I feel bad that we have to call the neighbor, say, hey, your cow's out again. Because I don't want to be that annoying neighbor.
Yeah, but the cow's in the yard. So.
Yeah, but I don't want him to think that we're annoyed or upset. Because, you know, we're still kind of new. He doesn't know us very well. You know, I think it's awesome. But I also know that, you know, a head of cattle is a very expensive investment, and I don't want it to get lost.
Sure.
So, but she comes over, so we've named her Bessie, and Bessie hangs out in our back pasture, and
usually about dusk, you can see her pretty good at first, and like, oh, there's Bessie walking through the front yard, and now she'll have a tire swing to play on too. but then it gets beyond dusk, and then it's just this like cow shadow outline that's standing out in the pasture. And it's like, we don't have a cow.
She doesn't go too far.
She
just kind of hangs out there.
She just likes the grass in our backyard.
I just feel bad for our neighbor. I mean, he's got, he's probably got 30 head of cattle. Yeah. And this one does this all the time. And then he's got to get out there and find her. And it's like 10 o'clock at night and he's on an ATV trying to find her. And then get her home.
They got personalities. You know,
they do.
I've never like really had a ton of interaction with cows. I mean, I grew up in the country and I had friends who had cows and stuff. But the most I ever saw them was like in the barn when they're, you know, all lined up to get milked. Or if they were in the field, they pretty much just stayed away from us. But so, I mean, I had some, but I never like really had a lot of like one-on-one with the cows. It's just funny to see how they all really do have these personalities that are... Like any, I mean, I don't know why I would think any different, but...
Was most of your exposure to Holstein cows with being around dairy farms?
No, we had heifers, we had Holsteins, there was a good mix.
Well, heifers are female cows.
Yeah, that's true.
So, no, I just mean different types of cows have different...
Sure.
Different types of cattle have different types of,
you
know, demeanors. Like, Herefords are so laid back, they're like... Whatever, dude. It's like they smoked pot.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, I'm here.
How many times, how many stories over the years have we had where we've had someone saying they saw a dark shadow-like figure that was larger than a person that was like way off in the distance? How many times was it somebody's stray cow?
I think most of the time it's somebody seeing a shadow person because when they're saying larger than a person, I think they mean height, not width.
Not width. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked like a cow, but I don't think it was. But yeah, it's kind of funny because the other night when I took the dogs out to go use the bathroom before bed, it was at that time where it was all you could see were just kind of shadows. And had I not known that that cow was out in that field, I would have been a little scared. I would have been like, what the fuck is that? Because you couldn't quite make it out the way it was positioned. It wasn't like, you know, it was at an angle. So it wasn't like a clear shape of a cow. It was just this dark mass. And I'm like, that's got to be the cow. And then sure enough, then I hear the four-wheeler coming in. But I will say this. The other night we were having a campfire and the cow got out. And we had a lot of steak. No, but I thought I had heard the neighbor... It was just me standing over by the campfire in the back pasture. And then I thought I heard the neighbor coming with the ATV. So I walked up to the fence line, like looking, waiting. Nobody comes. I'm like, and that's what I said to you. I'm like, do voices like really carry around here or something?
Because down soft stuff.
They do. And then, and I didn't even realize that our other neighbor over here was having a get together of some sort with people. And that's all I was hearing. But for a moment, I was like, well, that's weird. Because to me, it sounded like it was coming out of the woods or in the direction of where that would be. But then I realized, oh, they have people over and it's carrying and bouncing and whatnot.
Now, there's this time of year, though, there's always people down creeking. I mean,
there could be that, too.
Yeah, because they park by the bridge where you always see a car parked by the bridge. They're down there creaking.
So it could have been that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was just weird to hear voices say, I was assuming it was just him. I wasn't thinking anything paranormal. And then my mind went paranormal when I found no one.
Your mind always goes paranormal.
But then it's like, oh, here's the logical explanations. So
yeah,
it wasn't like whispers of like weird messages or anything. It was just like people talking. So like, your cow's out. Like, no. So anyway, there you go. That's the story of the ghost cow that we have.
She's not a ghost. Not yet. Not till he gets tired of chasing her.
Yeah. Then what if that happens? What if he even ends up getting rid of her? You know?
I kind of want to ask him how much he wants for her, even though I don't have a fence yet.
She seems to do fine without a fence. So that doesn't seem to be the issue, really. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your ghost story with us. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosei.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosei. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosei starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosei.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosei. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosei starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosei.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosei. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosei starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosei.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosei. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosei starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosei.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosei. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosei starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosei.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosei. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosei starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosei.org.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.